rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets...
The Deadpan Podcast.
The gag. Put the fucking lotion in the basket!
Hey, welcome to Deadpan number 45. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. And okay, you know, I did say I was going to try to complain less, just in general in life. But you know what? I feel like shit. The norovirus has gotten me, and it's been no fun. I don't really feel like one of the wittiest and sexiest men in podcasting. More like one of the shittiest and sickliest. So... But actually, I am on the tail end of this. I think I've beaten it. Thanks for asking. And, you know, since I'm on the complaining streak, it's fucking single-digit temperatures outside in New Jersey. All right, done complaining. Luckily, I have a decent amount of content this week that you guys have sent in, because you guys are awesome. So you won't have to hear too much from me this week. May still be a Deadpan Light episode. I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go. Let's get the ball rolling with something that I intended to run last week.
I mean, your boobs are huge.
When Commander Adama sees these, he's gonna go crazy.
This is Sand Trooper TD-0013 of a different point of view at ADPOV.net, and I need your help. Multiple sclerosis is a chronic, often disabling disease of the central nervous system that generally strikes people between the ages of 20 and 50. Symptoms can range from numbness in the limbs to paralysis or loss of vision. Progress, severity, and specific symptoms of MS in any one person cannot yet be predicted, but advances in research and treatments are giving hope to those affected by the disease. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sand Trooper gear. Armor, helmet, boots, backpack, rifle, the works. I've pledged to raise $1,000 to fight MS. I'm doing my part to help those with MS, but I can't do this alone. I need your help. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, Help TD-0013 help those with multiple sclerosis on the front page of their website. This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. Don't worry, it's a secure site, and I'm not asking for anyone's paychecks, just whatever you can spare. And every penny goes directly to the MS Society, and from them, to the research to help those with this horrible disease. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk, now I'm going to walk the walk, and you can be walking right next to me in spirit. Any support you can give would be great. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD-0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
Hey, this is Raquel, a.k.a. Sistress, from the Triscast. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Daria is dead. And deadpan is the fucking way.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Hey, Deadpan, this is Andrea. I'm calling with an earbud. I know you guys have missed me so much. Probably not, but I'm calling two different albums that I've been listening to a lot lately. One of them is Sonic Youth. Actually, this came out in mid-December. It's called The Destroyed, and it's basically like some unreleased stuff and like stuff that they kind of threw on the end, the B-sides of singles and various compilations and stuff. Pretty much all on vinyl. I think most of this stuff has not seen CD generation at all. But really, really cool stuff, like that stuff that they used to throw on the B-sides that, well, I don't know how many of you are Sonic Youth fans, but like the instrumental stuff, the like really experimental, really cool, you know, trippy, mellow Sonic Youth stuff that is just really, really cool. And it's not all instrumental, but a lot of it is, and you know, a lot of it are noise and just very, very, very cool. And if you were at all a Sonic Youth fan at any point, like this is something that, you know, it's not new Sonic Youth. It's basically from like the 90s and a little bit into, like, I think up to 2003. But just it's really nice listening to and kind of brings you back, and it's really, really, really good Sonic Youth stuff. The other one was Skinny Puppy. They have a new album that's actually coming out at the end of January, January 30th, called Mythmaker. And it's their first album since 2004. It's just fucking amazing. I don't know if anyone here listens to industrial music at all, but it's just really good. It's everything about Skinny Puppy that you loved. And, you know, basically when they broke up because one of their members died from a heroin overdose, and they never did any music again until 2004. And when they got back together in 2004, they basically had a bunch of stuff they had recorded before with Duane, and they tried to, like, make it work in a new album, and it was really good, but it was, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to listen to. And this is, like, them just getting back together, like, you know, we were a band for, you know, 15 years, and we can create really good music, and they basically did this on their own, and I think it's definitely, like, a new beginning for them, and it's really, really, really a beautiful album. And it's everything about Skinny Puppy that, you know, and basically, like, both these records are talking about things from the past, you know, the things that are bringing you back from things from before, with Sonic Youth being, you know, stuff from their old albums, and Skinny Puppy, like, finally getting back to, you know, it's been 7 or 8 years since Duane has died, and they're finally now, like, a band again and creating their own music, and it's really wonderful to listen to, and everyone should at least give it a try on iTunes when it comes out on January 30th. Just listen to the samples and, you know, the little 30-second previews or whatever of the songs, and give it a try, and it's just a really awesome, awesome, awesome album. All right, that's it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Nobody loves you, but don't feel special. Nobody is a dirty, dirty whore. This is Marlo Diane, and you are listening to The Deadpan.
Hi, this is Paul Mackey, and I'm pleased to present a new episode of Really Big Things. In the last episode, Eric and Suzette worked on rendezvousing with Mike at Chicken Heaven, but Mike acted as though Eric wasn't even there. Tension mounted as the blonde woman from the twine ball entered, but did not recognize any of them. Meanwhile, while Chris took a second shot at eating at the Happy Chef, Jeremy waited for the drugs to kick in out in the parking lot. As we left them, the Happy Chef had just come to life, and apparently swallowed Jack whole. Hi, this is Paul Mackey, and I'm pleased to present a new episode of Really Big Things. In the last episode, Eric and Suzette worked on rendezvousing with Mike at Chicken Heaven, but Mike acted as though Eric wasn't even there. Tension mounted as the blonde woman from the twine ball entered, but did not recognize any of them. Meanwhile, while Chris took a second shot at eating at the Happy Chef, Jeremy waited for the drugs to kick in out in the parking lot. As we left them, the Happy Chef had just come to life, and apparently swallowed Jack whole.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you sitting there. My name is Phil Rossi. Some of you might know me from the Filling the Page podcast, or Microbrewed with T. Morris, appearing on Wingin' It, and now appearing on Speaking of Beer with Charlie the Beer Guy. Don't worry, I won't take up much of your time. I want to let you know that I'm a finalist in Podcast Pickle's Pickle Tales Battle Royale. It's down to me and the talented and swarthy Lawrence Simon of 100 Word Stories. Next week, the voting for the Podcast Pickle, Pickle Tales Champion begins.
Editor's note, actually the voting's on right now, so head over to Pickle Tales. Okay, back to Phil's promo. Good luck, Phil.
I'd like to ask you all to take some time out of your day and head over to the Podcast Pickle forums, get registered, and then vote for your favorite contestant. If that happens to be me, hey, I applaud your good taste. Regardless, you should check it out. For more info, visit Podcast Pickle at www.podcastpickle.com or Filling the Page at fillingthepage.blogspot.com.
Really Big Things by Paul Mackey. Episode 6. Prairie Chicken. Eric cocked an eyebrow. Yeah, suppose if he couldn't see me, that would explain a lot.
Right. He was supposed to take the pills?
Ivo told him to. Let's get out to the lot before that bitch over there gets interested in him, or us. They walked as quickly yet inconspicuously as they could out to the parking lot.
Excuse me, sir.
Suzette placed her hand on the hood of the car Mike was getting into.
Mike started, then sighed and said, Lady, can you get your hand off my car? Eric stepped in front of Suzette as she said,
I'm sorry, sir. I wanted to talk to you about a friend we have in common in Wisconsin.
Mike's eyes narrowed and his fingers tightened on the car door. Oh, you're part of that whole crackpot scheme, are you? At the same time, Eric said, Can't see me, can he? Suzette's face scrunched in annoyance as she said,
Not at all.
And she cocked her head emphatically. Eric took the hint and moved back to her side. Not at all, huh? Not in on it, or not a crackpot scheme?
Hey, try to get a read on him. This is Ivo's guy, right?
Now, those pills?
Lady, I spent a long time huffing diesel exhaust waiting for your guy and came away with nothing. Suzette stiffened as the tall blonde passed between the car and the building. She looked incredulously at Eric as the blonde continued down the road and turned toward town. She jumped back as the car lurched away, Mike having taken advantage of her distraction. Eric sighed as Mike drove away, tires squealing. He's not got a connection to anything, huh?
Well, he is Ivo's guy, but doesn't sound like he made the connection.
So, Jack fucked us over.
I'm not sure, but we could go through the muffler man and get Jack to tell us about it.
I got a better idea. You follow Purple Eyes, and I'll track down Jack. Much later, Suzette stood outside the Happy Chef. Eric approached from the highway. Jack wasn't home. You got the Purple Eye covered?
Just kind of orbiting between the chef and the bar.
Well, not getting in through that chef.
Nope. Say, is this still pretty local to Jack? Maybe you could ask the chef.
Good idea. Eric crossed the lot, giving the blonde woman a wide berth, spoke with the chef a minute or two, then crossed back to Suzette. He came through, tonight, about 2 hours ago.
Great. Now what?
You keep an eye on our company, and I'll go after Jack, of course.
Why do I always get the purple eyes duty?
'Cause I'm better at persuading those I question to answer correctly.
Ah, yous guys, will you check out this huge cock between my legs?
Man, you're a fucking idiot. When I said wise guy, I meant smartass.
Hold on. I'd like yous guys to take a moment of silence while you check out a huge cock between my legs.
All right, let's get serious. Chris sighed and leaned against the car next to Jeremy. Before them stood the world's largest prairie chicken. Currently, the chicken was being straddled by one moron who was being egged on by a second moron holding a video camera. Maybe the world will catch a break and that guy will fall on his head getting down from there, said Chris. Jeremy grunted. He was in no mood to speculate. A long night in a motel room with Chris was at least not accompanied by any disturbing visions, though he had confirmed that Chris still smacked his lips in his sleep like he had back in the dorms. This morning they had the continental breakfast, neither one mentioning the Happy Chef or skillets.
Hey, check out the huge cock between my legs.
Then, at the Sinclair station, while children played on its back, the dinosaur statue's mouth unhinged like a preposterous viper, and a man walked right in. Further up the road, Little Sprout gave several people a boost so they could walk through the foliage of the Jolly Green Giant's chest like a beaded curtain and disappear. At mid-morning, they stopped in Minneapolis,
so Chris could upload some of his shots and check some messages. You want to come up? This might take a while.
No, I'll wait in the car. Just sort of lie low. You are coming on the next leg of the trip, right? It's only been a day. I'm sure things are still hot here for me right now. Great.
All the rest of the morning, all the way to Rothsay, Minnesota, home of the world's largest prairie chicken, Jeremy managed to experience the world without hallucinating.
Hey! Check out the huge cock between my legs!
Now the video pranksters appeared to be wrapping up. Jeremy sighed with relief. Then the chicken made a low rumbling sound, stretched its neck, and two people came tumbling out its rear. Eric sat in darkness for a minute, waiting for his eyes to adjust. Ahead, a small spill of light marked the passage to the entrance of the cave.
Once outside, he walked down the hillside to the edge of the forest.
There the old tavern stood, smoke puffing lazily from the chimney. The barman did a double take as Eric entered, then looked away conspicuously. "I'm the only customer in the place, Sam. You can't avoid me."
"I know that, sir," he said nervously.
"And you'll also likely know I'm here looking for that no-good Jack."
"Yes, sir," the barman said timidly.
"Well, pour me some ale, and we'll have a friendly chat about our friend, Jack."
You have been listening to Really Big Things by Paul Mackey. Suzette was read by Darcy Zepernick. Music is Chronodermis by Nanochrist. Look them up at www.nanochrist.com. Please send comments and feedback to reallybigthings@gmail.com.
Hello, this is Jen, Phil Rossi's pregnant wife. I want my husband back. In order for that to happen, you need to go to podcastpickle.com and vote for your favorite storyteller. If you vote for Phil, I will get him back a lot sooner. So please, go vote. His wife and unborn child miss him terribly. For more details, see fillingthepage.blogspot.com.
And congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Rossi for the little bun in the oven. Hey, here's an unrelated thought. So, I'd grown up believing that the Force was this mystical energy field that encompassed all things. And now you're telling me that it's a bunch of bacteria? Microscopic organisms called midichlorians? That if you got a little spot of the Force on your countertop, you can just wipe it away with some Lysol and a paper towel? That a Jedi or a Sith can be defeated in 7 to 10 days with the proper antibiotics? Is that why Yoda lived in such a filthy, humid, swampy environment on Dagobah? Maybe he didn't die in Return of the Jedi because of old age. Maybe Darth Zithromax had finally found him out in his little hut.
Hey guys, this is Jeremy. I'm walking down the street with the phone to my ear so people can't tell that I'm recording. I hope this comes out. We'll see. But, I don't really have anything really to say. Just hanging out, walking down the street, recording. Thought I'd take you along for one of my daily rituals, which is the ordering of the coffee. So, I think I'm going to pause here because I might be at the corner. No, I guess I'm going across the street. And Starbucks is right here on the corner, so nobody will know what's going on. Alright. So I'm going to put up the phone so it doesn't look like I'm talking on the phone. That's stupid. Can I get a double tall, half calf, 2-pump mocha, non-fat, no whip?
Double tall, half calf, mocha?
Yeah, 2 pumps of chocolate.
2 pumps?
Yes, please.
No whip, you said?
Non-fat, no whip.
I don't think we'll be doing that.
Thank you.
There you are.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
and that about does it. I'm not holding the phone up to my ear anymore. Fucking if people think I'm talking to myself, and I'm talking to myself. Now I'm crossing the street. Crossing the street while I talk to myself like a crazy person. So yeah, anyway. I'll probably edit that down. We'll see what happens. Alright. Jeremy from Seattle, signing off.
Everyone has internal critics. Private Statler and Waldorf's in our Muppet Theater balconies.
Oh, damn!
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!
Belittling us in everything that we do, creating doubt, sapping away self-confidence, eroding self-esteem. Podcasters are no exception. Here at Deadpan number 45, we're approaching 50 and starting to take stock, to look around at the things we've done. Taking stock and reevaluating our self-worth. I think the Deadpan has changed over the past few months of, you know, personal stress horror. In some really positive ways, but also, admittedly, there have been some unprofessional screw-ups. As a positive, I think our community has really come together and grown even tighter. Your listener contributions are fantastic. But on the flip side, I feel a little insecure and less than 100% pleased with my own writing and original skits. I'm afraid sometimes that I'm relying on your stuff to carry the shows. My real insecurity is that one day, everyone will just sort of realize all together at the same time, wait a minute, this guy sucks. Why am I wasting my time? The Deadpan will go from 1,000-ish comments 1 week to 3 from Joe Klecko in the next. This is where that internal bully, my pod conscience, if you will, has become extremely vocal. Vocal enough even that I was able to record his voice for all to hear.
You're right. You've got all these great people chatting on your site. But what have you done lately for them? Aside from chiming in on pod every week and begging for their money and sympathy.
See, he cuts pretty deep.
Shut up and finish up this boring podcast already. Play someone's dumbass memory, will you?
But pod conscience, I've done funny stuff on here. It hasn't always been boring.
Oh, you mean like the Jukes of Hazzard Star Wars thing? That was in like episode 10, man. How many months ago was that?
I don't know why my conscience has that accent. I've never even been to Cleveland.
Hurry up and ramble your way through this crap here. Is this interable? How fracking clever. Now, if only you could finish up your other patio book, or Herbert Spherical Tomy 2, Jill of the Fates 3.
I'm working on those. I just need to get settled, man. They'll release soon, I swear.
Sure. And hey, what did happen at the Winging and Pool Party anyway? Fill your red plastic cup with one too many?
Okay, well, we're going to turn off my pod conscience's microphone now. Incidentally, I wrote all that stuff, so don't be mad at Ian, a.k.a. the Ranting Scotsman, for reading it. I think he read it a little too well, but my thanks to him for playing along. Check out his podcast, therantingscotsman.com. And speaking of foreigners, here's a cool little something from one of my favorite Canadians. No, I don't mean Ditto, although he's one of my favorites, too.
This is a Forbidden Dragon recording. Recording by Marlo Diane. ForbiddenDragon.blogspot.com. Prick by Marlo Diane. The chair was blood red.
How original.
Well, it was.
Of course.
Look.
Everything with you.
I can't help it.
Try.
Your mother called this morning.
Sigh.
Don't think she got 10 words before grandchildren.
Fuck.
Suggested ways we could do that, too.
Oh, God. Sorry.
No. I understand. Anyone inspires a call in a supreme being, it's your mother.
Siding splitting.
What, again?
I told you, the contractor's an asshat.
Apparently.
He kept wanting to talk to you.
Should have invited him back later.
He's a smoker.
Nasty.
I know.
But the siding...
He thinks it's the sun.
The sun.
Yeah.
Lydia bought another Barbie.
Thought she quit.
Addiction. This one talks.
Talks? If Barbie could talk, you just know she'd sound like a $3 crack whore. That, or she'd rip off those boobs and go GTA Rampage, which, come to think, doesn't require talking.
She has Ken pussy-whipped.
That wasn't hard.
Here he isn't either.
Started the quilt yesterday.
Oh?
Got pricked more than Sleeping Beauty on tour with the football team.
Did you bleed?
Fuck.
Yes?
You can't go more than...
No, I can't. You know what I...
Bite me.
Finally.
And Prick by Marlo Diane. Originally appeared in From the Asylum, August 2005.
We were nerds, dorks, geeks. We were shunned, ridiculed, and downtrodden. But we saw the world through a different set of eyes than others did. We were the ones who escaped to our imaginations to make sense of the world around us. We have ever been the dreamers, creators, and seekers of myth, for it is here we look for understanding in our world. Somehow, no matter how bad things got, we were always looking up.
Join me, Indiana Jim, for discussion of the latest headlines and hottest topics in the realm of geekdom. From science fiction and fantasy, to movies and the music that makes them great, to writing, philosophy, inspiration from history, and the newest geek gadgets. Visit thingsarelookingup.wordpress.com and explore with me the things that have us looking up to the horizon, the heavens, and beyond.
All right, I don't actually have a lot of outro babble for this week. Yeah. So that's it. This has been Deadpan number 45. Thank you for listening. Actually, I need your content because I used a lot this week. Thank you to everyone who supplied great content this week, by the way. But if you want to call stuff in, the voicemail number is 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. Or you can email stuff to me, jack@jackmangan.com. I'm putting out the call. Send good stuff. Dumbass memories, fridge contents, whatever you want to do. And while you're at it, feel free to send in some deadpan bumpers, too. Podcasters and listeners alike. I mean, we have a bunch of great bumpers here that you guys have already contributed, but it's never bad to add new stuff to the mix. I'm sort of cheating for this last bit of music here. It's actually the instrumental outro to the song One that Matt Mango and I had recorded together a while back and shows up on the Wishing Bridge. But I had actually cut it from that and used it when I uploaded my long-ass poem reading to the Internet Archive. And for that, I had retitled it as One Corner, because the poem was Street Corner, and, you know, I'm very clever. So anyway, we're going to close out with that, and that's that. And oh yeah, I can't believe I forgot. I should say on pod here, I will be at Farpoint Con in Maryland next weekend, the weekend of, I don't know, the weekend after Valentine's Day. I hope to see some of you guys there. Ron Glass is actually one of the guests of honor, so if I meet him, then of course, you know, I'll be sure to ask him about his, you know, his role on Barney Miller. And oh yeah, my pod conscience did point out that I tend to beg for money. I'm not begging for money, but if you do want to contribute something, it's always appreciated. That button is on the sidebar at jackmangan.com. All right, enough outro babble. I'm out, y'all. Peace out. Till episode 46.
Deadpan is the way.
Just down the road from the house a little ways is a restaurant called Burger Time. I've always been tempted to go up to the counter and complain about the little footprints across the top of the bun.